Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke. We're going to be taking a look, continuing on in chapter 1. And you might think, well, last week we went through verse 13 and it makes sense that we'd pick up in verse 14. But to give them greater context, we're going to read verse 12 through 17 today. And so let's look at God's Word together. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." The word of God for the people of God. Well, last week we began our new sermon series, Surviving the Holidays. And one of the things I told you was we are a mere 8 weeks at that point away from Christmas. And of course, now we're even less time away. And you think about less than 2 weeks away from Thanksgiving. And for some of us, we talked about how this brings us a lot of excitement. Right? It brings us energy. We think about, for those of us who like to decorate, Missy and I went to Walmart. We bought some decorations yesterday to put up at our house, some new ones. We try and do that each year. But I know that's not for everybody. We haven't put them up yet, if you're wondering. I talked to somebody, they already had their tree up. And Missy and I both agreed that's a little too early for us. But we also discovered, according to a recent survey, that 43% of people said that if they could just skip Christmas, they would. Why? Why would anybody feel that way? Because the holidays, while they're a time to celebrate, while they're a time to rejoice, they're also a reminder for a lot of people of better days that have gone by. Of people they've lost, of relationships that have been broken. And last week we spent our time together focusing on how do we bring Christ into our loss so that we can find some healing there, so that instead of a time of making us feel overwhelmed with sadness, we could find moments to rejoice even in the midst of our loved ones who are no longer with us. Or maybe it wasn't just a loss of a loved one, it was a loss of a dream or a hope. And just like Zechariah and Elizabeth were facing, being unable to have children. And this week we shift our gears to focus on the broken relationships in our lives, because that's another sore spot for a lot of us in this time of year. Because when we have a broken relationship, every celebration is a reminder of that. Whether it's a friend, whether it's a family member, when they're not there, it hurts us, and we feel the pain all over again. But relationships, they're important. And even those broken relationships that you might have in your life, they are important. It reminds me of a cruel experiment that was carried out by the Emperor Frederick, who ruled the Roman Empire in the 13th century, and he wanted to know what the native tongue of man is. He wondered, is it Greek? Is it Latin? Is it Hebrew? Is it something else? So in order to find out, he took infants who had just been born and isolated them. And the people who took care of them were made to swear that they would never make a sound in their presence. And he assumed that whatever language they learned to speak, that must be the language that God had us to speak. And it ended in tragedy when 3 months in, all of them died. You see, God speaks the language of relationships. And when we reject that, when we're withdrawn from that, we run into real trouble physically, emotionally, and spiritually. For us, when people have relationships that are broken, we often deal with it in all the wrong ways, and we usually make matters worse. Anybody ever done that? Some of us, some people, pretend like everything is fine. You ever experienced that? You ever witnessed it? Maybe you're the pretender. And though the relationship's broken, you just go about your business. And to the outside world, everything looks great. Some people take another position. They work on being an antagonist. And so they antagonize the person. If they can poke them, they'll poke them. If they can stir them up, they'll stir them up. If they can upset them, that's great. Because then it gives them a reason. Gives them an outlet for their anger and their resentment. And some people freeze out the person. And they just cut off ties. Whether you've been frozen out, whether you've done the freezing, whether you've been the antagonist or been the one antagonized, whether you've been the pretender or been in relationships with people who pretended that everything was okay, I want you to know this is not God's way of dealing with brokenness. And what we find even in this passage is a very different approach to dealing with broken relationships. And if we remember our context right, the broken relationship is between the people of Israel and God. They hadn't heard from him in over 400 years. They were struggling. They were at a loss. And many of them thought they were on the right track doing exactly what God wanted them to do. And what do we find in the Gospels? They just are busy doing one empty ritual after another. And it's unpleasing to God. Because God's always concerned about matters of the heart. And they were always concerned about appearances. And so how did God remedy it? That's what we're going to look at this morning. Because repairing relationships is hard. If you tried to repair one, you know what I'm talking about. It is hard work. Repairing relationships begins with a choice to reach out. Notice what God does here. He reaches out. He sent an angel, a messenger, to speak with Zechariah. He sends a messenger to speak with Mary. He sends a messenger to speak with Joseph. God reaches out as he makes provision for us to be made right with him. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you're thinking, I'm tired of being the one who reaches out. I'm tired of being the one who always has to be the bigger person. I would ask you this question. Do you think God ever gets tired of always having to be the one to chase us? Do you think God ever gets tired of being the one who always has to reach out to people who give up on him time and time again? I'll tell you the answer when it comes to God is no. He does not grow weary. He does not get tired, we're told. But he keeps doing it. Now, I didn't ask, did God get frustrated? I imagine he does. I imagine he looks at me when I stumble and he says, oh, Kenny, why are you drifting away from me again? Why are you walking over here when I've asked you to be right here? Romans 5:8 says it perfectly. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. Why? because it shows a love that I can hardly fathom. God didn't wait for me to be right. God reached out so I would be right. It's the righteousness of Christ that makes me right, not anything that I choose to do. So in whatever relationship you're dealing with in your life and you think, oh, wow, can I repair this? I don't want to reach out to them. They've hurt me one too many times. I would put forward to you, I would tell you this morning, this is a choice you make. It's about what you're going to do. Are you going to reach out? You reach out before they do anything. I can't tell you how many times, how many people I've spoken with over the years, and reconciliation was so hard to come by because neither was willing to take the first step. God took the first step with you. Will you take it with others? It reminds me of a friend I had in high school and college. One time he got mad at me. We were about to go on a trip, and he told me he didn't, you know, he wanted to stay at home and rest and that he'd meet me at the place we were meeting up at the college Presbyterian house before we went down for a week-long kind of Christian retreat at the beach, which is something you get to do when you're in college. And so we were very excited about it. And then a bunch of us, we didn't want to just sit around and wait at home. So we thought, well, let's go out to eat. So we went out to eat, and he got so mad that I didn't call and invite him. And I thought, well, I just finished talking on the phone to you and you said you didn't want to come at all. What do you mean? Now you're mad at me because I didn't call you right back a half hour later and ask you to come. He got so mad that he wasn't going to come. And I thought, well, I don't understand this at all. I don't understand how this hurt his feelings. I don't understand why he's upset. But here's what I do understand. I'm going to reach out to him. I'm going to be the one to take the step. I'm going to be the one to bridge the gap. Just like Jesus bridged the gap between me and God the Father, I'm going to be the one to bridge this gap, and I'm going to take a step toward him even when I don't have a clue why he's upset. He did go on that trip, and we had a great time. But sometimes I wonder, what if I hadn't reached out? Who does God want you to choose to reach out to during this holiday season? You want to survive the holiday season? I would tell you there's no greater opportunity for you to have to reconcile with people than during this season. The season of Thanksgiving leading into the season of Advent as we celebrate the birth of our Lord. Will you make that choice today? Another thing we see is that repairing relationships requires a love to restore people. Why did God reach out? Because he had a love to restore people. First, he's lifting up Zechariah and Elizabeth. He says, you were barren. Yes, now you're going to have a son. His name's going to be John, and he's going to bring fathers and children together in Christ. People who are far away are going to come near. All because God has a heart to restore people. That's what God desires for you and me, by the way. That's why he sent his son. So that we could be restored. So that we could come out of the darkness and live in the light. So that we could repent and have a new life in him. I think 2 Corinthians 5:17 says it well. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Think about the broken relationships that you have. Whoever it is, maybe there's more than one. Do you want good for them? Do you want to see good things in their life? Are you willing to pray for those good things to come to pass? Are you willing to make them a priority in your prayer life? Or just shake your head, because there's so much that has happened that the thought of even something good happening to them weighs heavy on you. Repairing relationships requires a love to restore people. Reminds me of Jonah, the whole story of Jonah. Anybody remember why he ran away? Because he did not want to see the people be restored. He said, there are wicked people over there in that city. I want to see God's judgment. I don't want to see His grace. Maybe that's how you feel about somebody in your life. My friends, God's given us a different kind of heart than that. God commands us to have a different kind of heart than that. Imagine if God took that approach with you and me. I thank Him every day that He doesn't. Another thing we notice is that repairing relationships requires consistent preparation. Repairing relationships requires consistent preparation. What are we told about John? Who's coming forth to begin that restoration process? He's coming forth to help people turn toward God, to prepare the way, we're told, for the Lord. So he's preparing people for Jesus. What does he do to prepare? From the time of his being a child, he's never to drink new wine or old wine. That's basically what those two things mean. He's not to take part in any of that stuff. Instead, he's to be filled with the Holy Spirit. In other words, at a very young age, here we have John the Baptist being set apart for his mission, to be set apart for his purpose, and preparing to be a prophet. Now, don't get me wrong. The only way you're effective is through the grace of God and the power of Jesus Christ at work. But my friends, you and I can do some things to prepare. You want to repair a broken relationship in your life? Ask God today, how can I prepare to do that? What can I do to make those first steps? How can I interact with this person in a new way that might open a new door for them? Luke 21:34 tells us this. Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life, and that day will close on you suddenly like a trap. Now, of course, he's talking about the coming of the Lord. He's talking about his second coming. And he says, if you're not careful, your heart will be troubled. You want to know why there's not a lot of reconciliation oftentimes? You want to know why there's no political reconciliation right now in our world? Because people's hearts are troubled. Because people's hearts are weighed down by the anxieties of this life. Not focused on that which is above, but focused on that which is below. And we're at odds with each other. We're running into each other. And the same thing happens in all of our broken relationships. We don't take time to prepare. And you might wonder, well, how do I prepare? Well, I've told you one thing you can do. You can start praying. You can start praying for that person who you have that broken relationship with. Pray for their good, not their evil. Another thing you can do is you can ask the Lord to help you come to understand the depths of your pain, to explore the very matters of your heart. I see this all the time with people. Often what we get upset about is on the surface. And that's all we look at. We look at what we get upset about. We never stop and think, why am I upset about that in the first place? What is it about this that makes me feel so angry and upset inside? And we never dive any deeper. And we never let the Holy Spirit open up and show us the wounds that we have felt from the past, endured from the past. And those very same wounds, they keep us from reconciliation in the present. If you want to reconcile with people in your life, you have to let the Holy Spirit work on you. We're often too busy praying and asking the Lord to work on them. But that's not how God works. I talked to a pastor friend of mine, and I was at odds with somebody one time, and I was praying that the Lord would change his heart. And he looked at me and he said, "God will never honor that prayer." That's not how God works. God wants to change your heart. You pray about God changing your heart and allow him to show you a new way to interact with this person and trust that God is dealing with his heart. But for you to expect God to change his heart when you're unwilling to change, that's not how reconciliation works. So my friends, what can you do during these holidays to prepare? What are you willing to do to be right with people? And then our last thought, repairing relationships requires the humility of a servant. Mark 10:45 says this, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." It requires great humility to be a servant. John the Baptist had it. We think of John the Baptist as this guy out in the wild and yelling at people saying, "Repent! Turn back to God!" And drawing a crowd unto himself. But if you've ever paid close attention to what he does when Jesus comes on the scene, he says, "Everybody go follow him." What humility. What are we told about Jesus in Philippians chapter 2? Jesus became a servant even unto death. Death on the cross for you and me. We're told to have that same spirit in our interactions with each other. When you're trying to reconcile during these holidays, it's not about your rights. It's not about your wrongs. It's about the mission. It's about the purpose. It's about you saying, "Lord, I will follow you. I will do whatever it is you want me to do in that relationship. I will humble myself. I will fall on the sword. I will answer the call. And be humble. Even if I have a right to be mad. Even if I have a right to be upset. Even if I have a right for them to apologize to me. I'm going to be the one to choose to reach out. I'm going to be the one to take on a spirit of humility. I'm going to be the one who is willing to prepare ahead of time for this restoration, to allow the Holy Spirit to dive into the depths of my heart that I've kept walled off, just so I can heal, just so I can be right. That's God's method of reconciliation. That's what he did for us. And he would invite us, he would invite each and every one of us here to do the same, to follow that example, and be willing to say, "I'm not going to live through another holiday, Thanksgiving, Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, New Year's Eve, New Year's Day. I don't want to go through all that carrying the anger and resentment another year. I don't want to go through it being broken another year. Instead, I'm going to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit and make a different kind of choice." Let us pray. Almighty God, repairing relationships can only be done through you. You are the author of reconciliation. You show us what it means to be reconciled. You show us what it means to be a new creation. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to grab a hold of that today. We don't want to live through another holiday season without us making another effort, a new effort, but doing it in your way, in your timing, so that what is broken may be healed and what is crooked may be made straight. Lord, we need your help with this. We need your grace to see it through. We pray that you would provide it for us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As Michael leads us in our closing hymn, I want to invite you. If you have a broken relationship in your life that needs healing, let this moment be the first moment that you choose to say, you know what, I'm not okay with that brokenness in my life anymore. I'm going to come down to this altar and I'm going to begin praying for that person. Or maybe for you it's not a person and it's really your relationship with God that's a little broken. Let this be the moment that you say, Lord, thank you for reaching out to me. And I'm going to choose today to start listening to what you have to say. Respond as you feel led by the Holy Spirit.